Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
What's up, guys? How are you? Thank you, Joe. This guy. Look at this guy right here. Thanks, man. He's a good dude, Joe. You guys know that guy? Say hi to him if you see him on the street. Say, what's up? Say hi, TV. How you guys doing? You guys doing all right? All right, I gotta set my clock here. Time is a ticking. I gotta be out of. There's like a whole program. I guess if I go long or short, the kids are they're either let loose early, which is bad. Or they keep them forever, which is might be good for you. I don't know. That might be an interesting thing. So I was thinking, I was back there just praying, and I was thinking about the first time I spoke, the very first time. I don't know why this just came to my mind. And I was 19 years old, and I was probably coerced into it, of course. But 19 years old, I spoke probably like back in this area. But this building wasn't here. It was like mobile units. And I was 19, and I spoke to like basically a group of my peers. And all my friends were in there, and they were like heckling me while I was speaking. And what's funny about it is I've done it probably, you know, 1,000, 2,000 times since. And I don't feel any better about it, really. It's not like I'm like, oh, I got this now, you know? The only thing that I got going for me up here tonight is that I beg, and I mean, like hands and knees, beg God to show up when I do this, because if we don't, and I'm not trying to get that, but if I don't do that, then I feel like I'm trying too hard to make something happen that's not real, and you can't do that. That's one thing I've learned about God is you can't force His hand, like you can't force Him to say what you want Him to hear. Right, like what you know what I mean. You can't force God to speak, and so tonight, yesterday, I've been like filling my head with bad news. I don't know why, but like you read the news and you like see this stuff that's going on in this world, and you think that it's like that for everyone. It's really not. Most of you guys are probably just living, you know, normal life. I don't want to say mundane, but like it's just everyday life, and it gets boring. And you're here tonight because you're like, I need, you know, some of you guys, I need like a pick me up. I need something, right? And then some of you guys are here. You're like, man, I've got some serious issues. I really need to hear from God. And some of you guys are here because somebody else brought you. Some of you guys are here because of habit. Some of you guys are here because you're single and you're looking for that other person. I don't know, right? I don't know what your motives are for being here tonight or for watching online, but I do know that there's something special when God's people come together and they listen, not just to hear somebody talk, but to hear what God is actually speaking to them. And just realize that no matter who you are in here, okay, if you're somebody who maybe you don't feel close to God at all, I want you to know that God can speak to you tonight, okay? He really can. And it might be something that I say, or it might be something that makes you think of something that He's already been saying to you. So just let's have the freedom to just listen to what He has to say to us tonight. Does that sound good? All right, let's pray and let's breathe and just believe that God has something for us tonight. I feel like it's kind of a free flow night. It usually is with me on Wednesday nights. I don't know why. I'm more of a night person anyway. I've been caffeined up. I've been praying. I feel good. But let's just come together and let's just believe, okay, that God is going to speak to us. So Lord, we just thank you for who you are. And, Father, I just pray right now that you would just take our hearts. Lord, I pray that you reveal our hearts to ourselves. I pray that you'd show us the parts of our heart that we're not letting go of, Lord, that we're not letting you be a part of. Lord, there are burdens in here tonight. There's stresses, there's anxieties, there's physical problems, there's emotional problems, there's mental problems, Lord, but there's also good things happening. And Lord, I pray right now, God, that we would just acknowledge you in all of it, in the good things and the bad things. And Lord, for those that are looking for clarity tonight, I pray, Lord, that you would either give it to them, or, Lord, I pray that you give them the peace that they're not going to have the clarity yet. And Lord, I pray, God, that you just show us exactly what you want to show us, and I pray that you give us a collective responsibility for your church. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here tonight and you rolled in, you're like, I got some problems to deal with, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to bring you more problems to deal with, okay? Because sometimes, occasionally, the best solution to a problem is a problem. You'll understand what I'm saying as we get going. But I'm going to talk about three issues that I see in the church. And the reason I said that is because sometimes what we need is to get our minds off of our own issues. We need to get our minds off of our own problems, and we need to realize that we are part of a solution to a bigger thing, right? We're part of a solution to the body of Christ. We have a responsibility, but we also have an opportunity to be a part of what God's doing, and that is an amazing thing. And so you might have, like, some financial difficulties. You might have some health problems. You might have some big, huge issues that you've never dealt with before, and you might just be bored. I don't know. I don't know what you're going through. I can't tell. I don't have that ability necessarily unless God gives it to me in the moment, but I definitely can't do it collectively, right? It'd be a whole thing. So I don't know, but he does. And some of you guys just need to lay it down just for a moment and realize that maybe you're supposed to be a part of the solution. And then God will take care of the rest, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say it. Jesus did, okay? So you can believe him. My first thought tonight was everyone wants to be a hero, but nobody wants to be a soldier. It's interesting to me that we live in this society. It's getting worse a little bit, but maybe it's social media. Maybe it's just media in general. Maybe it's just the way. You know what's funny? I'm just going to say this. This is going to sound rude. It's going to offend people. I might really offend people tonight. By the way, I have no intention of offending anybody tonight, okay? It just might come out. The first offensive thing I'm going to say tonight is those of you older folks that complain about millennials, you need to start blaming their parents. Thank you. That's the first offensive thing that I'm going to say tonight. But no, seriously, millennials are a tough group, okay? They are, but they're a talented group. They are. Some might be lazy, but their parents, maybe you seem to kick them out. I don't know. I don't know what you need to do, but I'm just saying, everyone wants to be a hero. Nobody wants to be a soldier. Okay, so we're gonna get into it tonight because I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. I just do what I'm told. All right, that's it. That's all I'm doing. Is that okay? And I'm feeling a little ornery. I don't know why. I just turned 38 on Sunday. 38. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. But there's some other issues at hand that I want to talk to you guys about tonight. I have an iPhone here that does a lot of amazing things, like keeps the time. I'm at 7 minutes, 52 seconds. Boy, did that fly by. Do you guys remember the first iPhone came out? It wasn't that long ago. It was like 2007, believe it or not. Not that long ago. And since then, there's been, I don't know, 14 or so new iPhones. And now it's like an iPhone every month, right? Like this technology is insane. All in the name of profit, really, right? At the end of the day, there's a bunch of nerdy nerds, and they're amazing, and they're smart, and they're working really hard to just sell you another product, and they're going to work really even harder, and you're going to buy it. Don't say you're not going to buy it. I know there's a few of you guys out there. How many of you guys are there? You always get the brand new iPhone. Oh, good. You guys aren't those people. How many of you guys have like an iPhone 6 or older? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, right? You guys are beating the system. Beating the system. Somebody down here doesn't even have an iPhone. Man, really beating the system. But there's people that are working really hard to create new technology, right? And they sell that technology to us. And as a whole, as a culture, we do buy into that. Like, there's people that work really, really, really hard to just improve things. And it's interesting to me because I feel like that world of advancement and technology, they're creating robots now that just kind of do everything. Like, there's this technology that moves and it blows up, and there's people that work really hard in the name of profit. But what bothers me is I don't see that kind of attitude in the church. I don't see the kind of attitude that we could make this better, you know? I appreciate science to an extent because scientists will work really hard on proving a theory. They'll come up with an idea, right? And then they'll work really hard to prove it. And if a scientist's idea is disproved, what do? They just move on because their peers are like, dude, that was wrong. Let's move on. And a lot of scientists actually appreciate that because they see it as an advancement of science, right? And so that's why we're learning more and more and more about proving, you know, certain theories that ultimately I think will lead us to believing that there's really a God that exists. But they're working really hard to do that, and that's cool, and that's awesome. And then you got the iPhone people that are really working hard to do that. But where are the people that are just looking at the Bible and saying, dude, I'm not done with this yet. Like, I'm not done with this book. I'm not done with what God has for me. And God is definitely not done with what he has for you. Why is it that we get complacent and we get bored? It's almost like it's a cultural problem in the church. And I think this is an issue, okay? This is a real issue. Go ahead and put the slide up. Guys, the first issue slide. There's a fear of learning new things in the church. And I don't know where that comes from necessarily, but it bothers me. I was just reading the Bible. I'll show you. There's a Bible story. I just learned something brand new from a story that I've heard a million times. Go to Matthew 26. You guys have all read this story. Matthew 26, 51 through 55. Let's go ahead and read it together. Jesus said to them, "Friend, do what you came to do." This is Judas, who's going to give Jesus over to the Roman guards to be crucified. And he says, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. Next verse. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus, the one was Peter, okay? One of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, okay? And he struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Peter did this, okay? Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." You guys have heard this, right? Live by the sword, die by the sword. "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" So Peter, you guys can throw that down. But basically, Jesus corrects Peter. So what happens is, this is the end of the ministry that Jesus has, right? Like, he's with his disciples, and he's been with them for 3 years, okay? Ministering, like living, like camping. Like, they've been together, like literally for 3 years. And Jesus is about to get crucified, and Peter just pulls out a sword and just like hacks down, like straight down, probably trying to kill the dude. But fortunately, he only got his ear, right? Because, I mean, Jesus could have like helped in any situation, but like, he got the guy's ear, and then Jesus puts the ear back, and Jesus corrects him. Now, here's the mind-blowing thing about this story, and this is what I just saw for the very first time. I don't think you've ever heard this before. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but it blew my mind. I'm like, dude, Peter had that sword the whole freaking time. He had the sword for the whole 3 years that he was hanging out with Jesus. Peter thought he was a gangbanger. Straight up. He's like, "I'm with you, Jesus, but I've got this sword, and I'm going to keep carrying that." And what's even crazier about the story is that Jesus didn't say anything to him until the very end when he pulls out and strikes somebody. What? This is nuts, dude. This is crazy. The whole time. I mean, the guys had to be talking. They're like, "Peter, why is he carrying that sword? I mean, we're with Jesus, right? Like, didn't he see the miracles?" And Peter's over there just, right? He's just over there like, I'm a gangster, dude. If anything ever happens to Jesus, I got this. It'd be like the equivalency of carrying a gun everywhere you go. As some of you do, I know, right? But hope there's never any situation like that in this church, because it'll be ugly. It'll be everywhere. Just everyone goes straight down. Anyway, it'll never happen. We're good. But some of you guys, you know, you think, and so like, anyway, the story, what was interesting to me, and what I got out of it was that Jesus had so much patience with Peter. Is he just let him go, do his thing. And he waited until the opportune moment to correct him. And the way that Jesus did that shows so much humility and so much power. And I think about people in our lives that maybe do things that we don't like. And I was convicted about this even reading this story. I was thinking, there's some people in my life that I just want to correct because they're doing something I don't like, but it's just not the time yet. And it might not be till next year or the year after. You gotta have some patience, right? And so I saw something brand new in that. And it's like when we ask God to show us something new, he will. Some of you guys, and this kind of goes against probably some of the church vision, but I'm going to say it anyway, again. Not afraid of different people. But some of you guys have been like doing Bible studies with the same people for way too long. Like, you need to stop. I'm serious. I'm 100% serious, because you know how it is. It starts off good, right? You guys are actually in the Bible, and then like 2 years later, you guys are just, so your wife's still being mean to you? Okay, well, I'm sorry. Does your dog still have diarrhea? Yeah, all right. Like, it just, you know, if God wants it to continue to happen, then you stay in it. But if he doesn't, be open to change, man. Be open to change, because God is a God of change. If you open the Bible, crack it open at the beginning, and start reading through all the way to the end, you're going to see a lot of change. And you know what you're going to see? A lot of people that are following God in the moment that are just really thrown off because God is doing something completely different than they thought he was going to do. Like, you see it over and over. God surprises us. God surprises us. But some of us, we get so caught up in our bubble. We get so caught up in doing the same thing over and over and over that we get stuck. We get stuck, and it's just, it's not right. It's not what God would have us do. But if it's going well, and it is God's will, you just have to pray about it. It's that simple, right? When was the last time you asked God? Say, God, you know, the thing I've been doing for the last 3 years, or the thing I've been doing for the last 3 months, is it still your will? That's one thing I appreciate about my dad, is that he's not afraid of change. He'll throw people off sometimes, but he'll just change something completely, and it's because he feels like God wants us to change. And over the years, I've learned to get used to that and see the beauty in that. It really is cool. Hebrews 4:12, one of my favorite verses, says the word of God, okay, is living and active. It's living and active. It's not set in stone. It's not dead, right? It's not static. It's living and active. It moves. It forms. It changes. It meets us where we're at. The word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. That kind of word is, like, to me, a lot more exciting than just an ancient book, right? It's so cool that God can speak to us where we're at and show us new things and continue to plant seeds and continue to grow those seeds. And it doesn't matter how long or how not long you've been following Jesus. New is always around the corner if you're looking for it. It really is, because God is a God of refreshment. What was the story? Somewhere along the line where God throws, it's in the Old Testament, somewhere in Egypt or something. Anyway, there's bread that falls out of heaven. God gives bread to the people, and if they don't eat it that day, it becomes rotten. Anyway, I badgered that one. So anyway, we'll move on. The next issue that I want to talk to you about is the church is settling for an image of God instead of a messy relationship with God. This is a real issue. And when I bring up these issues, I'm not just saying this just to bum you out or depress you. I'm saying this because we need to do something about it, okay? So as you listen to that tonight, jot down notes. If God speaks to you about a solution, because I'm not giving you a lot of solutions, but I'm giving you some things to think about. It's more like a homework session, right? But this issue is really a big deal. In Exodus chapter 20, this story spans multiple chapters, so I can't like read it all, but you can go back and check it out. In Exodus chapter 20, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, okay? And then the next 10, 12 chapters, he stays with Moses, God and Moses, and they have this discussion, and God basically teaches Moses about the Ten Commandments, and then he gives him all these other laws that kind of span like beyond the Ten. And so Moses is up on this mountain with God getting the Ten Commandments. It probably got a little awkward when God said, "Thou shalt not murder," because that's kind of how Moses started his ministry, but that's a whole other thing. So he's up there. God is speaking to him, giving him all this instruction and saying, "Hey, you know, this is how I want you to lead the people." So while that's happening, the people are down in the valley and they're getting bored, because they don't see God. They don't see their leader. They don't see what's going on. And so they get antsy. You know how people do? You know how you just get antsy. Some of you guys are antsy people, right? Like if you don't see anything going on, I got to do something. And so they do. They say, "You know what? We need something to do. We need some God to worship." And so they get Aaron to create a golden calf, right? They get him to create a fake god for them to worship. And so they're down there creating this fake god. Ultimately, what they wanted was they wanted control. They wanted a god that they can control. They didn't want a living and active god. They didn't want a god who would tell them how to live. They wanted a god that they could tell how to be their god. Right? That's what they wanted. And so they create that. And so Moses is up here still getting all this instruction from God. I mean, it's deep. It goes from Exodus like 20 to like 31, I think. So this huge instruction. At the very end, Exodus 31, 18, I think I gave you guys that verse. It says, "And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony." So God writes the Ten Commandments on the tablets of testimony, the tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. And so Moses has been with God, literally with God. Then God hands him these tablets of stone with God's own handwriting. Like, that has never been done before. That's kind of a big deal. And so I could see Moses carrying these things. I'm assuming they're heavy. I don't know. But he's like probably being really careful, right? And he goes all the way down the mountain with these stones that are just, they're priceless. They're really valuable. And he gets to the he starts hearing the people, and Joshua comes up to him and says, "You know, I think that they're chanting, they're doing war cries or something weird." And Moses is like, no, it sounds like they're just singing, having a good time. And so Moses gets closer and closer. And then he realizes that they're just out of control. They're doing whatever they want. The leader's gone, and they're just partying it up, and they're just doing whatever they want to do. And Moses gets angry. The guy had a temper. He had an anger problem, right? And so he takes these tablets that God gave him after this long, lengthy instruction, and he smashes them on the ground. Straight up smashes these tablets. Now, let me just ask you a question, okay? Do you think God was completely unaware about how the people were behaving down there? Probably not. Like, God knew what was going on down there. And so when Moses got there, he was like, "These people are ridiculous. They don't even deserve it. I'm mad." He's angry. And then a couple chapters later, he's like, "God, so about those tablets." About those tablets. And so God ends up... He ends up writing on tablets, but he makes Moses go get his own tablets that time. And so God fixes it. But there's two things that I want you to see here. First part of the story, there's a huge difference between the real and the fake. Okay, that's the first thing I want you to see. Huge difference between the real and the fake. I had in my notes earlier that I just skipped it, but... I was thinking about the real thing versus not the real thing. When I was a kid, we used to go to like Tijuana on family vacations. I don't know why. It was just my dad was like, "Let's go to TJ." All right, sweet. And we would go down there and we would buy like sunglasses. We'd buy like hats and we'd buy like shirts and stuff. And I remember I would get like the fake Oakleys. Like that was my thing, right? I'm going to get these fake like frog skin Oakleys. It was the 80s. And I thought they were awesome. I would come back, tell my friends, "Yeah, check out my Oakleys. These are so nice." And until one day, you know, I met a kid that had real ones. And he's like, "Check these out. And I'm like realizing there's like a huge difference between the fake and the real. And so there's a huge difference between that. And it's interesting how much God values us being real with him. And I think he really values us being real with ourselves. And obviously real with each other. I see a lack of that. Not necessarily in this church. There's some, you guys have committed to being pretty honest and real. But I see this as a cultural problem in the church. There's a lot of just fake. And it's just disgusting. And it's hard for a lot of people to tell from a distance. It's hard to tell if somebody's real or not from seeing them online. It's hard to tell if somebody's real or not by even maybe having a conversation with them every once in a while. You can tell, though, when you get close to somebody. Like when you start talking to somebody, when you start having a relationship with somebody. And so that's just an important point that I just wanted to bring out. And maybe like we could all, even though we think we're the realest people on the planet, we can all probably go back and just check ourselves a little bit there and say, am I really being real? With first of all, myself, second of all, others, and third, God. Or it's actually the opposite. But it's that one thing leads to another, you know? So there's a huge difference between being real and fake. But there's also a huge difference between the fake and the flawed. Let me just explain this. People, how do I put this lightly, make huge mistakes. Like a lot. And you probably don't understand it to the point that I do, just because I grew up in the church and I've just heard a lot of people tell me things that I don't repeat it. But people will come up and tell me things that go on in their lives, and I'm like, wow, okay, like that's a thing. Okay, that's a thing. God can work through this, but it's a thing. And I've just learned that from talking to friends, from my own life, from people that are really close to me, people in church and out and outside of church, people just go through stuff. And life gets difficult. It gets really hard. And sometimes there's these pressures that push on us. And sometimes there's these things that just make us want to scream. And occasionally, we will do something stupid because that we can't handle that pressure. Occasionally, we'll do something that's like not that bad that will lead to something that's a little bit worse. Then it'll lead to something a little bit worse. And it'll be a slow progression. And occasionally, you'll just blow your lid off and you'll punch somebody in the face. I don't know. Like, we have problems. We do. People, we are flawed. But the beauty is, in looking at Moses and thinking about him and his anger problem, he literally kills a guy and God calls him to lead the people out of Egypt. And then later on, God gives him this masterpiece, this piece that is so important that he can show the people that God has given him the authority, and he smashes it on the ground out of anger, right? He's flawed. But the beauty is God specializes in using people that are flawed. And the reason, now the reason that I'm bringing this up is because the church, us, we need to understand that about ourselves and about other people. We want to get better, okay? We want to grow. We want to make less mistakes as we grow. But we need to have much more grace for the people that fall, that mess up. There's a difference, there's a huge difference between somebody that messes up but wants to change and wants to do right than there is with somebody that says, I don't care, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. Huge difference. And the church could use a little more discernment, maybe a little bit more patience and discernment to understand how to work with certain people in that way. Does that make sense? So that's the second issue. The third one, and I'm going to leave you guys with this one, is some of us would rather be safe than free. I had this thought last night. I was in bed, and I didn't realize I was speaking until yesterday. Probably my mistake, but anyway, I was laying there, and I was just thinking about, you know, what am I going to talk about? I was praying, you know, God, what do you... And I got this vision, this idea, this thought, that there's that Jesus came and he broke us free of our shackles, right? Like, because of our mistakes, because of our issues, because of our past, some things are our fault, some things are not our fault. But because of that, we end up becoming enslaved to certain things and to certain relationships and certain situations, right? And those that's real stuff. Like, and it can really shackle you to where you feel like you can't move. But then Jesus comes along and he breaks those shackles, right? He breaks them completely. Hands and feet, just breaks them. And a lot of us, we leave that space. And we think, oh my gosh, this is great. But then it's like, but then I have responsibility. And then I'm like, I don't know. This is kind of weird. It's a lot like an inmate that has gone to jail since they were like really little. And then they get out and they don't know what to do with their lives. Like some of us are like spiritual inmates. Like we like have been shackled and we've been stuck for so long that once Jesus frees us, we don't know what to do with that freedom. And so we're out here free and we're like, okay, I'm just going to go back to that area, to that space. I'm going to put those broken shackles back on my hands. I'm going to put those broken shackles back on my feet, and I'm just going to stay here, and then I'm going to use this as an excuse as to why I'm not living my life to the fullest. So some of us do that. Some of us do that, and if you are in that place where you feel like you're doing that, listen, it is much, much, much better to be unsafe and free than it is to be safe. And truthfully, you're not even safe. You're far from safe in that place because you're dying a slow death, right? A very slow, painful death instead of just living the life that God has called you to live. Like some of us don't understand, but God himself has called your name. God himself has called you out of the place that you're in to be the person that he's called you to be. And yeah, you've grown up in a bad situation. You know what? God knows that. And you know what? Things might get even harder in the future. God knows that. I was thinking about this earlier. I was like, God, can you? I always pray this prayer because I'm dumb. I pray, God, can you give me some clarity about the future? What's it going to look like? And I feel like God just said, if I told you, you'd be scared. I'm like, all right, that's fair. But being scared is not a bad thing, right? Sometimes it's fun. It's fun to not know what's going to happen to you. It's fun to not know what's around the corner if you look at it from the right perspective, if you have a full respect and understanding of who God is, that he's good and he loves you, that he's so powerful, that he can take care of anything, but he will let you walk through some fires, right? He really will. And that's just that. 2 Corinthians 3:17 is the verse I want to leave you guys with. You know, the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's a lot in that verse, okay? First of all, God, the Lord, he's spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, now, the spirit of the Lord is with you, right? So wherever you are, there's freedom. Wherever you are, there's freedom because God is with you, right? There's a lot of power in that. I want you to remember that, even if you are in a bad situation. Watching that video with Alicia Voss where she's talking to these girls who've been through some bad stuff, and I hope they all understand now, and I hope that everyone that's going through that stuff knows that God is with you always, and he understands. I don't know why God doesn't free us quicker sometimes from our troubles, but he will. He will give you the strength that you need to get through. And so any ladies that saw that video earlier tonight and you're wondering if you should go or if not, you don't know, Alicia Voss is a legit person who loves God, who knows God. So I would encourage you to do that, okay, if you're even on the fence about it. Just go check it out. Maybe God would have you go to help somebody else. I don't know. So that's just a thought. But anyway, the thing I want to leave you guys with is that God is a God of freedom. Galatians 5 says it is for freedom that Christ set us free. And it's time to just not be afraid, you know? It's time to just run towards whatever it is that God has you running towards. Not be dumb. God gave you common sense, but if God has put something on your heart for years and years and years,
And I'm kind of preaching to myself too right now. There's some things that I've been kind of procrastinating on for like 10, 15 years. If God keeps putting this stuff on our hearts, why are we not doing it, right? Why? Because you got to pay taxes? I don't know. What is it? God can take care of all the details, man. He can. I love it when I read like an entrepreneur book, right? Like people that get like super rich. They always write this book. Like, I'm going to tell you exactly how to get rich. And then they always started off with, I don't really know how I got rich. I just kept doing it. It's like, what? Why are you even writing the book? They're like, I just went. Basically, like, I can sum up every entrepreneur book ever written. They just went for it. Like, they just went for it. They just did it. They're just like, I'm going to do this. And that's in the name of making money, right? And maybe that's your calling. Maybe it is. But maybe you're calling something different. You know what it is. That's all I'm saying. And I got to stop. It's 8 o'clock. I put a time restraint on what I'm doing up here. But just take whatever it is that God spoke to you tonight. Think about it right now. Stop. What did he say to you? Because it's not my fault if you didn't hear him. It means you weren't listening to him. Okay? Now take that and live it. Live it. Just go for it. Do it. I'm serious. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that as every person in here looks to their own hearts and their own minds and their own bodies, I pray, Lord, that we would be able to trust you more. Lord, I pray that whatever things are going on in our lives, that we'd be able to just really fully trust you because you're good and you love us and you never, ever, ever, ever let us down. And so for those of you tonight that you just, you felt God tugging on your heart and you know it's time for you just to get right with him, 100% right with him. Like you know that tonight is the night, you know. If that's you and you want some prayer tonight, this is a safe place. This is a place to make that call. You can get some guys to pray for you, some women to pray for you up here. So I'm just going to ask this, okay? We're going to do a little differently tonight. As I dismiss, and that's you, I want you to come up here and get prayer. Can you guys hang out for like 5 minutes? 5 minutes? You have a 5-minute window to make a decision that'll change the rest of your life, okay? So come up here and get prayer from one of these people who God has called to do this, okay? And let's just be the church. Let's help each other out, all right? You guys are dismissed. I love you guys. God, thank you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our Lord.